It's a BBQ bite. BBQ bite. How's it going, folks? Blind Bargains, episode 174, and this one is a little bit different. We've talked for a little while about doing some different formats, trying some different things. This is the first of what we are calling a BBQ Bite, a shorter podcast where we focus on one thing. We'll get in, we'll get out, show you something new, and let you get on with your day. Some people like the longer podcasts that we do, and some people like shorter ones. You know, we can't really decide either, so we'll just do a little bit of both, and we'll see what you think of this. Let us know what you think of this. Feedback at blindbargains.com. If you like the longer form show, go back to the last episode, BBQ 173, where we interview a representative from Vizio Braille, Bartle Hoffman, to talk about the latest with Baum and the Baum products. So definitely go back and check that one out. Coming up after this episode, the next one we will have will be our pre-CSUN show. At least that's our plan at the moment. And then we get into the fun of CSUN interviews. Once again, triple-headed coverage. Myself, Joe, and Shelley Brisbane doing lots of interview coverage from the CSUN conference. And Joe is even going beyond CSUN to another conference, the Gamers Developer Conference in San Francisco in mid-March. So lots of stuff coming up over the coming weeks. So just get used to, you know, we kind of joke about the word normal. Normal doesn't really exist anymore. We're kind of trying some different things. Part of it's a product of us experimenting, trying new things. Part of it is, well, we have lots of things going on as well. And, you know, sometimes schedules in certain weeks allow for more things than others. We, of course, appreciate your feedback and contributions as well. We have some listener contributions coming in as well. You're welcome to send in things. We're always happy to talk to you about featuring what you're playing with on the show. Feedback at blindbargains.com. What are we doing today in this BBQ Bite? Well, Joe and Ricky have to do some laundry because they got a new washer and dryer for Christmas. Not just any washer and dryer, a smart washer and dryer. What does that mean? How does it work with the assistants, or does it? Well, we're going to go to Joe and Ricky right now as they play with a new GE smart laundry system. Take a listen.
You're listening to the Blind Bargains Cast. Blind Bargains Cast.
Hey everyone, I got Ricky with me, and we're going to give you a little bit of idea of what we were thinking of, and then what then transpired, because nothing ever truly goes the way you're thinking about it, when it came to choosing the washer and dryer that we did. And the washer and dryer is the GE755C in its companion dryer, and we chose the white one. We'll explain that in a minute, because there is a difference when it comes to those kinds of things when pricing comes along. Ricky, how did we come about moving into the idea of replacing our washer and dryer?
Well, given that the previous one had been around for far, far too long, and there was more wrong with it than right, seemed like the time to look for something different. And of course, why go for something standard when you can go for something that perhaps has Bluetooth or interfaces with all the other gadgets in some way? So wanted to find something that was easy to use, accessible without a lot of hassle, and also, go figure, washed clothes really well.
So, oh, yeah, that's important. I've heard about that. It beats going down to the river and beating them on a rock, which we did consider. We actually did give that some thought. You know, you said something right there about it just so happened. We weren't necessarily searching out a quote-unquote smart washer and dryer, and the definition of smart is being used very loosely here. We really were looking for tactile first. It was that was the first thought we had in our minds, was to go for washers and dryers that had features that we could touch and feel. And that turned into something that we weren't prepared for. A lot of those designs are unfortunately at the lower spectrum of cost as well as feature set.
Exactly. So the part about washing your clothes well and not tearing them up. Now, I don't know if cheaper washers tend to do that more, but I know they tend to not last as long. So if you were getting something tactile, you were also getting something with a very, very limited feature set. And that may be okay for you. But if you were hoping for something that has, for example, a de-wrinkle option on the dryer, you're not going to see that on a lower end model that is exclusively tactile.
And steam, like there was steam options and also just construction. You know, that's really important. You can research a lot of this online, but going into a showroom and running your hands on them, not just to feel the tactile controls, because that is a big part of it, but to feel it, to make sure it doesn't feel as thin as a soda can or as blocky as a tank. And the other thing that I don't think we were prepared for is how high it comes up to your waist, chest, or other, because some of these do have pedestals, or right. It's so, an option you can buy.
Yeah, so if you're getting a front loader, you might like a pedestal to raise it up such that you can actually reach into it. If you're going for a more traditional top loader, these things have become crazy tall, so you might actually need a pedestal for yourself in order to be able to reach in and get all the clothes out of the top loader washer. So that was kind of interesting. We were shopping and, strangely enough, walking around the Home Depot on New Year's Eve because there was one of these, buy now, it's the holidays and bring in the new year with clean clothes and stuff. So looking at this stuff on New Year's Eve and beyond, and as Joe mentioned, we were looking for tactile first, and if it had a smart component, then so much the better. Full disclosure, I actually liked the feel of the Maytag washer and dryer better than the GE, which we ultimately ended up with. The interesting thing turned out to be that we saw one Maytag, which was somewhat tactile, and we're very much considering, based on reviews, getting the next step up and thinking, yeah, it's probably going to have these same features and this same feel. Well, it didn't. So be very, very careful as you're researching things that if having the ability to feel a button or turn a knob, even on a quote smart washer and dryer, if having that tactile feedback is important to you, it's difficult to determine that just online. So you want to go wander around some Home Depots and Best Buys before you make that final decision.
Yeah. And once when you do know that there are different things like agitator versus non-agitator, talk to your representative in the store to get an idea of what, you know, what do you wash most and what they might think that might be for you that would work. And let some of these smart features be kind of the last decision if that is something that you're considering, because the apps aren't very friendly. They're not updated very often. That's something we found out by just going through the App Store and looking at the Whirlpool app or what GE had on hand. And the materials are not very well updated. So after we purchased these washer and dryer, you called for some guidance with General Electric. You want to summarize how that went?
It didn't. So the employee was reading from the same manual that I was. And the reason that I was calling was because there was a QR code somewhere on the washer that I'm still not entirely sure what it's for. But this code was different than the actual code I needed to pair the washer and dryer with my GE app. So there is a specific number that you can call for GE for connecting your smart stuff to your other devices. And they, too, were unfamiliar with where you would actually find the sticker that shows the code that you need. So that was an interesting experience. I have to thank Ira for ultimately kind of assisting me in figuring out where this thing was as we moved the camera on the phone here, there, and everywhere, and got somewhere at long last.
Yeah. In the case of the dryer, it was inside. When you moved the door open, there is a lip between where the vent is that catches lint and where the door is secured, and it was there.
Yep, and on the washer as well. It was on the inside. You open the door, and there's a lip just underneath the door that serves as kind of the top loader. And that's where we found this code that was needed. But as Joe mentioned, having the smart features as kind of your first line of defense for operating the washer and dryer is probably not the best idea right now. I know that LG and Samsung have some smart stuff in addition to the GE that we ultimately purchased. For GE, I'll be honest, the app is a hot mess and does very little. You can look at what the washer and dryer is doing, but you can't actually program what cycle you want for it. The biggest advantage to the app for me so far has been that a notification will show on my Apple Watch telling me dryer will be done in 10 minutes or whatever. And so it's nice to have that kind of notification easily accessible on a device that I wear. Beyond that, though, the app is pretty much pointless aside from getting the washer and dryer onto your Wi-Fi network, which is important to do if you care to connect it to something like Google or Alexa.
Yeah, and it will even work, so we've been told, but we've not really ventured into it with IFTTT. So if then, then that kind of things. So you could actually do some crazy programming with it, but that is pretty high level advanced and requires more knowledge than GE even has. So you're probably heading off to a Reddit or something like that to be able to find out from others who've probably done it. There aren't a lot of HomeKit enabled washer and dryers. We looked for
apparently
that.
Apparently not. No. Yeah.
And there are some Alexa driven ones out there. So that's a thing. But really, as you'll hear in the demo, it's nice that we have those features. I would not be upset too much if they weren't there, but at the same time, I'm very glad that they are there with the feedback we get that you'll hear in the demo. They did have membraney keys, so we could mark them. And we actually found an employee at Home Depot that really found this research of ours fascinating. So he actually would look at pictures of models that were not in the store to give us an idea of what he thought would look, what it would look like, how it would work out. And then he really opened up and gave us some ideas about what some of these models had as far as strengths and weaknesses were concerned. That's going to vary, of course. It's hard to find an employee that's very knowledgeable in that area or someone you could strike a rapport up with. But that's why you need to go more than once to more than one store if you're really going to do this, because this is a pretty big purchase. This is just like televisions where you're going to spend, you know, anything over $500. You really should do your research.
Exactly. Back to the smart aspect of things. The models that we chose do work with both Alexa and Google Home. Since we're a Google Home household, that's kind of what we chose to focus on. And if it weren't confusing enough to figure out, do I want to make this work with Alexa or Google Home, or how do I get all this hooked up? There are actually two different methods, at least on Google, for doing so. And it isn't clear, certainly in GE's documentation, which one it makes more sense to pursue. The first one is called Geneva Home. And that's the first one that we set up. This is you create a GE account and you're able to connect this to Geneva Home, which is something that I guess is GE specific. The process of getting that up and running was a little weird, but ultimately we kind of muddled our way through it. Geneva Home, though, as you'll hear in the demo, was not the ideal way to talk to your devices simply because of the way that it is built to interact with your smart assistant. The other one that we found and ultimately end up using all the time now is called Uconnect. And this one is a skill that, and I say skill, even though that's an Alexa thing and this is Google.
Google but, Action. Know, a sure, Google action.
Yeah. So this skill is... it was weird to set up because I ultimately had to give permission in my browser. For some reason, it kept breaking every time I tried to do this in the app. Now, that could have been my strange technology magnetic field, but that did happen. What Uconnect does, though, is makes it a much more natural process, again, as you'll hear in the demo, to interact with your devices and ask questions about them. Plus, you can rename them if you wish, perhaps after a TV show that you might thoroughly enjoy, and then get a great deal of satisfaction out of not calling them a washer and dryer.
Anymore.
Yes.
It was different in that when you go to use an Alexa skill or application, you have to enable it, and they've simplified that over the years. You're not used to doing that in Google Actions. So we found the Uconnect. We needed to log in with our Google Access active and then enable it. You had to go in and click a button, and then that would allow you to connect to Google Home and have all that talk to each other. And that's the first time I've had to do that, was to go in with my Google Active and then kind of say, yeah. And it's even more different than the way that Nest wants to do it. So that was a bit of a learning process. But once when we figured that out, and it was just trial and error, we were thrilled with the process, as you'll hear in the demo.
If you are interested in particular in these GE models, I will say that the buttons are tactile, so they are under kind of a membrane thing, as Joe says, but they're still very much, you can differentiate button from button. The buttons don't actually get used by me very often, because they're for setting things like the temperature specifically, if it's not pre-programmed the way you want, or turning on the water station, or doing a number of other things that actually you don't often have to do. The other portion of this is a knob, which does have a tactile arrow, and you can just write down the order in which these cycles appear and then go select it, even if this weren't a smart thing and if you don't have a smart assistant and don't care to bother with setting all that up, it is still technically accessible or usable.
And I think, again, as we said earlier in this portion of the show, it's important to recognize that if you're going to spend more on this, it really does help to do a research about the model. There are a lot of people who will demonstrate these on YouTube. There's actually a guy who filmed an entire jeans load, and he filmed all these different, like, there's 14 different types of loads that you could perform on the washer, and he did it. He set a camera up on YouTube, and then it's just the washer going for like an hour and 15 minutes on this load.
And they have glass doors, so you can actually watch what is happening with your laundry, which I still find a little bizarre. I think some things should just remain secret. We don't want to know.
Yeah, that's very true. But never underestimate the power of the internet to totally involve itself into something that you, hey, I want to know a little bit about, oh, that's way too much. I didn't need to know all this. Oh my gosh. You have over 800 likes on this video. That's crazy. So there are ways to perform some of that research. And if you're in a smaller town, this will be harder because there are fewer and fewer models for you to be able to research. But it is important because it's a pretty sizable chunk of money. And also look to see if there are any recalls. So once when you do find a model number that you're interested in, then do a quick search for that name, brand, the model number, and the word recall.
Just to make sure it doesn't explode.
Yeah.
That has happened.
That one of the ones that we looked at for Samsung did do that in Florida, and then the next day Best Buy was selling it for half off. So we thought that was kind of funny. The other thing that I would also say is that if you're looking at a stackable, maybe if that's something that you're going for, again, look and see, take measurements to make sure that it will fit in whatever space you are trying to place a stackable. Usually they are chosen pretty well if you're in an apartment, but if you're looking for that for a personal space, you really need to know how tall that is versus how much you have in the area of your apartment or house where you're going to put a stackable. And look a little bit into mold. One of the things I didn't realize was that front loaders, especially on washers, can leak more or have more possibility of mold. So that may be something you will want to look into just to be safe. Before we go into the demo, anything else that we didn't cover?
I think we've covered it all pretty nicely. We are available for questions about this specific GE if you have them. It would be also nice, because I know that this has come up a number of times, but it's just difficult for one person to research everything. If anyone does have one of the Samsung or LG smart models, we'd love to know what you think about those as well. Having the ability to kind of crowdsource some of this information and bring information to people about, well, I spent time researching this and here's what I found. Just bringing all that together is really nice.
And realize that it's always as relevant as the day you research it. So some of these models don't change. The ones that we have, I believe, minorly changed, but really didn't have a fundamental change to like the housing or the mechanical parts to them since like 2017 or 2016. So unlike televisions, washers and dryers tend not to flip over as much. And by that, I mean, they tend not to change out the fleet and what's being sold as much. They tend to hang around 3 to 5 years before there's a major design change. And that's partially because of cost. Not everybody upgrades their washer and dryer unless they're doing it commercially. You can send questions, of course, to feedback@blindbargains.com or contact us on Twitter. And we will culminate that stuff into a future feedback session. But let us know if you've had an opportunity to play with them, or you've had an opportunity to get your hands on one that you're thinking about. Tell us how the process went for you. Now we'll flip on over to the demo. All right, so I'm here in the washroom, or the laundrette, as we call it, and I'm going to demonstrate some of the things that Ricky and I were talking about earlier in the prelude to this demo. I'm standing in front of our GE washer and dryer, and off to the side here is a Google Home. And the reason why we kind of like this is that we can do a couple of things. Now, the old way of doing Google Home actions, or Google Assistant actions, is really weird. Let's demonstrate that. Hey, Google, talk to Geneva Home.
Sure, getting Geneva Home.
Hi, Geneva here. I can control your appliances, or you can ask me for help. What can I do for you?
What's the status of the washer?
Apologies, I did not understand your request. If you'd like some guidance, try saying help. What would you like to do?
Washer.
What do you want to do with your washer?
Status.
Your washer is currently off.
And you see it just dropped out. So it was like, I asked one thing, it was there, it's not running, gone, right? This is something that the new Google Home action system changed, and it's a little bit more fluid. You can check things a little easier. So, hey Google, what's the status of the washer?
The Rick is not running.
Hey, now you heard her say Rick. As we said in the earlier portion, we called the Rick washer. So our washer and dryer are Rick and Morty. Rick is the washer and the dryer is Morty. So when you hear her respond with that, she's actually talking about either the washer or the dryer. Now I have clothes in both of these, and I'm going to go ahead and move the lid down on the washer, and I want to set this to casuals, but I'm not sure where it is. So that's now down. Hey Google, what's the status of the Rick?
The Rick is on color cycle for another 41 minutes and 53 seconds and will be done in 41 minutes and 53 seconds.
So I'm going to turn this just once clockwise. Hey Google, what's the status of the Rick?
The Rick is on casual cycle for another 41 minutes and 53 seconds and will be done in 41 minutes and 53 seconds.
What's the status of the Rick?
The Rick is on delicate cycle for another 38 minutes and 37 seconds and will be done in 38 minutes and 37 seconds.
So I'm actually going to turn this back because I know casuals was over this way, counterclockwise. And so that's set, and I can begin that anytime that I want and get kind of real-time feedback. So we can mark this, the face of the dial that I'm turning, does have a physical divot in it, so you can tell where it's pointing. It does go clockwise, counterclockwise. And there are a lot more controls that I can push over here to the right that are membrane-y. So I can actually run my fingers over them and they feel like little membranes, like a microwave, but they stick out. So they're not flush with the actual control panel. And that's good because I can actually do that with the on and the start, which I'll do in a moment. Hey, Google, what's the status of the Morty?
The Morty is not running.
Okay, so if I turn Morty over here, I need to move him to colors or mixed load. Hey, Google, what's the status of the Morty?
The Morty is on speed dry cycle for another 52 minutes and will be done in 52 minutes.
I'm going to go ahead and move this because I already know where it needs to be. Hey, Google, what's the status of the Morty?
The Morty is on mixed cycle for another 37 minutes and will be done in 37 minutes.
So I'm going to go ahead and start these because that's where I need them to be. I've got them all set. And I'm going to start this one over here. Patrick's going to hate me for this. And I'm going to pick up the microphone and move it. All right. Coming out of the room. There we go. We'll move over here where it's a little quieter. Hey, Google, what's the status of the Rick?
The Rick is on casual cycle for another 38 minutes and 23 seconds and will be done in 38 minutes and 23 seconds.
Talk to Geneva home.
Okay, let's get Geneva home.
Geneva here. FYI, your dryer has about 36 minutes remaining and your washer has about 38 minutes remaining. What can I do for you?
Washer?
What do you want to do with your washer?
Status.
Your washer is running a casual cycle with 37 minutes remaining.
So you can see how the newer actions are a little easier to work with. They're faster, they use continued conversation, and the old way of doing things is clunky, and also it dropped me out. So once when it gave me the information I wanted, it was like, okay, good, out. So I had to restart that whole Geneva process to be able to get back in to find out what the washer or the dryer is doing if I didn't hear it initially when I went into that skill. So that's just a quick demonstration of how we're using our washer and dryer. It, again, was not something that we knew that was going to happen, but man, oh man, it's really nice to have that as a feature.
It's time to clean out your closet and make some dough. Sell your used tech and more on the Blind Bargains Classifieds. Go to blindbargains.com and select Classifieds to learn more.
Like I said, that's it, folks. Episode 174 of the Blind Bargains Cast, a BBQ Bite episode. We're going to have some more of these probably in the future as well. What smart things are you using around your house or apartment? Anything cool that you've had that you like? Let us know. Feedback at blindbargains.com. We'd be happy to feature them. There's lots of cool things. And of course, with the expense of smart appliances and other things like that, you can't just go out and buy every single one of them. It'd be nice, but you know, we can't afford to buy them all ourselves as much as we'd like to. So definitely let us know what you think, what you're using, what works, what apps work, what skills work, things like that. Feedback at blindbargains.com. Thank you for listening. You can like and subscribe to our podcast on all your favorite services like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. We do appreciate you doing that. It helps us out. It helps others as well. You can write us on Twitter at Blind Bargains as well if you have any feedback that way, or leave a comment on this episode 174 for the BBQ. You can also follow Joe at Ranger Station, all one word, if you want to send messages to him. If you want to have any ideas, questions for CSUN, let us know. We'd be happy to work that out as we get ready for Anaheim. Still getting used to saying Anaheim, not San Diego. Thank you so much to Patrick Perdue for putting this all together and being very flexible with whatever we decide to throw at him, whether it's last minute or, well, who knows? He's very flexible. We really do appreciate all your work, Patrick. That's going to do it. Episode 174 of the Blind Bargains Cast. Hey, our shortest numbered episode. Well, I'm not sure. Was one of our April Fool's ones a little shorter? I don't know. Well, somebody can get bored and figure that one out. But one of our shortest episodes ever and our first BBQ Bite. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2019.